or to sweep Alexander Smallens Junior. Go to sleep, Alexander Smallens Junior. Go to sleep, Alexander Smallens Junior. Go to sleep, Alexander, go to sleep, Smallens. Go to sleep, Alexander Smallens Junior. Go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep.
The music of Virgil Thompson with the absolutely gorgeous baritone voice of Aaron Engebreth, who just happens to be one of our new public classical hosts here on Maine Public Classical. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Robin.
I just wonder, did you ever sing that to your children? And if you did it work?
Oh, did it work? I'm certain that I sang it to them because I practice at home an awful lot. I think it's fair to say that I definitely sang that to them. But, you know, when you're practicing, you don't sound so nice. So I doubt that it put them to sleep.
Well, you have a gorgeous voice, and I know you know that. But it's also, I know it's hard, no matter how professional you are, to sit in a studio and hear yourself. And I think that's an interesting thing about you, because you're such an accomplished performer. And yet, like so many other people, I think you're critical of yourself at times. Is that true?
Oh, it certainly is. I mean, that's a really nice compliment, and I appreciate it. I have been at this long enough now that, you know, you hear so many people and you hear so many wonderful artists, and I've always really maintained a rather humble opinion of my own abilities. It doesn't mean I don't, you know, feel confident when I stand on stage, but I feel like I'm one voice of many who are trying to bring music to the world, ultimately.
Well, and you are bringing music to the world, and that's one thing I would say about you in the time that I've spent with you and got to know you a little bit, that you and I have had conversations about the importance of humility,
mm-hmm.
and just as a lifestyle choice, too.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that about you, and I think that comes through in your music.
I think it's something that reads from performers and really any artist.
So when I don't want to leave your kids just yet, because you did something really unique. You and your wife and your three children, you lived overseas for a while, and you lived in rather cramped conditions. And I'm just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that, because that's a very unique experience.
Yeah, it was terrific, actually. I was fortunate enough to be – I received a cultural visa, a multi-year cultural visa from France for work that I've done with the Florestan Recital Project, which is actually the umbrella organization that from which those complete songs of Virgil Thompson come. And it was an opportunity that was just too exciting to pass up. So I spoke with my wife about it, and, you know, she's used to me coming up with sort of crazy ideas. But I said, why don't we move to France? And she said, okay. And I did a double take, and my eyes popped
out of
my
head.
And I thought, oh, no, how would have I done? But we did. And, you know, what started off as the result of me receiving this terrific visa, an opportunity to be working and singing in France, really became something much larger, which was us learning to, you know, become part of a culture that we didn't know and make incredible friends and become really part of the community over there. And that was amazing. But yeah, we went from about a large, by pretty much any standard, house, about 2,400 square feet, to about, I think it was 65 square meter, which is about 800 square foot apartment.
For five of you.
Correct.
And how old were your children at the time when you moved there?
I think they were 5, 7, and 8.
Oh, my gosh. I know many people are going, wow, those people are brave.
Well, it was an incredible, enriching experience. In many ways, I miss that little apartment.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
I bet you do, because I know you had some wonderful times there. Tell us a little bit about Virgil Thompson.
Well, Virgil Thompson is a composer who has spoken to me for some reason since the very first time I heard his music. And I know quite a few of his former students. He was a prolific composer, prolific writer, but also a prolific teacher. And many current composers count themselves among his students. And so I was tipped off to this wonderful organization, the Virgil Thomson Foundation, that was handing out various grants for organizations that were performing his music. And so I proposed the idea of a recording of his complete songs, every song he wrote. And they were pleased with the proposal, and they said, sure. And so my organization, the Forest End Recital Project, we went through his manuscripts, his published music, his non-published music. For instance, those lullabies, like the first one you played there, there are many of them. He wrote them as gifts for his friends when they would have babies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
how lovely.
He wouldn't knit, you know, he wouldn't knit blankets, but he would write an a cappella lullaby, essentially. And they each have such interesting characters. I think the characters probably reveal more about the parents than they do the baby. That one that we just heard has actually a little bit of a neurotic feel to it, which I think any parent can relate to when trying to get their child to go to sleep.
Sort of like, please, Alexander Smolenschernu, please, I'm
right.
begging you, go to
Pleading.
Sleep.
And I just find him such an interesting composer, and I think he sets the English language about as well as any composer ever has.
So you talked about the Florist End Recital Project, and you are the co-founder of that.
That's right.
And so that came about before you recorded the Virgil Thomson series.
Yep. I co-founded the organization back in 2001, and it was right after I graduated with my master's degree from Boston University. And part of the reason I did is it's an organization that is devoted completely to the performance and scholarship and recording of art song, German Lied, French melody, music that was written for piano and voice. And the reason that my colleagues and I founded this organization is because vocal students and many piano students spend years and years studying repertoire written for solo voice and piano through undergraduate, through postgraduate training. And then we enter the world, and there are very, very few opportunities to perform that repertoire. Many singers will graduate from conservatories armed with 100, 150 different songs, and very few presenting organizations to actually perform them. People go more into opera, they go into oratorio, they go into different fields. But most composers, in fact, have written more songs than they've written symphonies. They've written more songs than they've written string quartets. And so there's this incredible, incredible amount of repertoire that really goes unknown by both performers and audiences alike. And so that's why we founded the organization.
That's really amazing that people put that much effort into learning, as you said, these hundreds of songs mm-hmm. and then come out, well, now what do I do?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's like any other college student in a way.
Sure.
But still, it's a very interesting take on that.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of the pieces that – this is terrible, but I do this all the time to people. What are some of the works that you have performed that were challenging for you?
Challenging – well, there are different challenges. Vocally challenging, I sing a lot of contemporary music, and that involves a certain amount of extended technique that you don't really learn when you're learning how to sing, you know, Italian opera, or if you're learning how to sing French song. You might have to use extreme parts of your range, extreme parts of your technique, and so that can be very challenging. There are also certain texts that are very challenging. There's poetry that you will sometimes sing that is really obscure. I'm thinking of a piece I sang a couple of weeks ago with a text by Auden, and I never really got to the center of what I thought the poem was about. I had pictures in my mind and colors in my mind and emotions that I tried to convey with it. But poetry like that can be pretty tricky, whereas mm-hmm. poetry like, for instance, Copland's Old American Songs, you know, those are rather straightforward,
yes.
really fun to bring across for sure, but children and adults alike can understand it very easily. So there's always a challenge in bringing across texts, I would say, that aren't immediately accessible.
And what about something that you've done recently that surprised you?
Surprised me.
Not unlike this question.
Not unlike this question. Well, that's funny. There are pieces that I sang when I graduated from school 19 years ago that in some ways felt easier to sing then than they do now, even though I would say that over time one's technique improves. And I think it's because you bring a sense of innocence to a piece the first few times you do it. Mm. And from a technical standard, you might have a teacher or a coach or an audience that might say, oh, you're not quite ready for that. But when you reapproach that piece maybe 19, 20 years later, there are elements of that first time that aren't there anymore, and you kind of miss them, and that can be surprising.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense to me. I think that's true with a lot of things in life.
I think so.
Yeah, I do. Well, we're very happy you're here, but I'm wondering why you decided you wanted to get into the radio part of music.
It's a way first of all, I'm a huge fan of radio. I've loved it since I was a kid. I listen to the radio. I listen to baseball on the radio. I listen to music on the radio. I really love the medium. I love the idea that someone is sharing something with me while I'm washing dishes, or if I can't sleep, or for whatever reason during the day, if I'm, in my car in the middle of a commute somewhere. And I'm just really thrilled to be a part of it, particularly to share, music that means so much to me. Even as a young kid, I would pretend I was a DJ. I had a little record player, and I would, Yeah, I would put a record on it, and I would try to do what, the different announcers that I would hear on various radio stations would do, because I just thought it seemed like the coolest job in the world,
Yeah, me too. And here we are.
Oh, lucky for us.
Lucky for us. Well, Aaron, one of the things that I wanted to say about you is that just people I know are curious sometimes. I'm always curious about the people I hear on the radio. And I just want people to know that I just find you to be a very thoughtful, talented person who really is, I describe you as a true gentleman. And I am so glad that you have decided to pursue this and that you are working with us. And we're looking forward to hearing more from you. You'll hear Aaron. He's hosting again for me on Monday. And I asked you what some of your favorite pieces are, and of course, you had a long list, but you've chosen one, and tell us what that is that we're going to play next and why.
It's an incredible piece of music, and if we have time, I'll tell you a quick story about it.
Please do.
Because it goes to really the heart of why this music is universal. It means something to everyone. You don't need to know anything about it. Some people know a lot about music, and this music is for them. And someone knows maybe nothing about music, and this music is still for them. And it can help you through some tough times. I was going through a particularly tough time once, and I turned on the TV one night, and I heard this piece of music, and it was part of a commercial for Saab, the car company. And I thought, what is that? And it was moving me so deeply. It was rearranging parts of me I didn't even know I needed rearranged. And I thought, I have to know what this is. So I called the car company. It was about midnight. And the poor and kind woman who answered the phone, I said, please, can you tell me what this piece of music is that I'm hearing on this commercial? And she was terrific. She put me on hold. She went and talked to someone and found out what it was. And she came back and she said, well, it's a piece called The Lark Ascending by Vaughan Williams. And I just thought, what a terrific thing that she had done, to look that up and find it out for me. And it's been a favorite piece ever since, because it was something that I can't explain why or how, but it helped me.